On the occasion of the blessing of baptism this morning, we read the scriptures in Romans chapter 8. And our passage will be the verses 15 through 17. Reading now the first 18 verses of Romans chapter 8. These blessed words of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. On the occasion of baptism this morning, I call your attention to the Word of God in verses 15 through 17 that we just read. Let's read them one more time. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Holy baptism is a sign and an oath to you as parents and to all of us as children of God of three things. The first is that we are adopted children of God. All of God's children are adopted. God has only adopted children. None of us are born of ourselves naturally. Even if we are born of a believing parent, we are not born naturally in God's family. We are born of a different family. John 8, verse 44, Jesus said of us in Adam, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will ye do." We confess with the apostle in Ephesians 2, verse 1, that we were born dead in trespasses and sins, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Our text refers to the spirit of bondage, again to fear. We were born in bondage, the slavery of sin, under the guilt of our sins. We were born under the abuse of our sins. Our life was in a slavery to sin, and we rejected and despised the living God. But it was God's grace to adopt us and bring us to his family. We read in the baptism form that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless we are born again. We have been adopted. We have been brought out of that family of death into the family of God. All of us are adopted. Secondly, holy baptism represents not only that we are adopted, but it assures us that now God is our Father and that he loves us. The form again said that we are baptized in the name of the Father because the Father witnesses and seals to us that he has adopted us as his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with all good things and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. The text says, because we have been adopted, we cry, Abba, Father. The most tender words of love. Out of distress, we cry out to God, confident that he is our Father. That's what baptism means. I'm the adopted son, child of God, and God is my Father to whom I may rely, on whom I may rely and pray. It's assurance. Baptism assures us. As Romans chapter 8 assures us that because we have been justified in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit has been poured into us, therefore the Spirit witnesses to our spirit that we are the Spirit this morning witnessed to our spirit that we are the children of God. And then finally, baptism tells us we are adopted, that God is our Father, assures us baptism called us to a holy life. The Holy Spirit assures us by this sacrament, we read, that he will dwell in us and sanctify us, and that we are called, obligated to a new and holy life. This is also the approach that we find in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 is not only about assurance, it's about holiness of life. But the approach to that holiness, sanctification, the approach to sanctification is this. You need to remember who you are, who you have become. By the grace of God through Christ, you are adopted as a son of the Father. Now live that way. Do not live in slavish bondage to sin, but live as children of God. I call your attention this morning to receiving the Spirit of adoption. Let's see that this is a gracious gift, that it works in us a spontaneous cry, Abba, Father. And that finally, it assures us of a joint inheritance. We are joint heirs with the Son, the natural Son, Jesus Christ. We are the adopted children of God. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies to us that we are the children of God because, verse 15 says, we have received the Spirit of adoption. That's the most wonderful thing that we could possibly hear. Those words, adopted children of God in Jesus Christ, are the best words you're ever going to hear. The best words of God's grace to you are those words. You've been brought to the family of God. It's the greatest of all possible gifts of God. We read in 1 John 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And so, adoption tells us that this was all of Him. We didn't earn this. And so we have received, says the text. We received the Spirit of adoption. This was gracious of God. We're not the sons and daughters of God through natural birth. We're not children of God in this congregation. We bow in humble praise for the covenant in generations upon generations. And our fathers believe we're not the children of God through our genetics. It's through grace we were adopted. John 1 verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. I chose Jesus. No, but we were born of God. What a wonder. And therefore God is our Father. He looks down upon us, and what does he see this morning? He sees us as his children. As you love your children, as you love your adopted children, he loves us. And what do we see when we look up to God? We see him as our Father. A Father who is the Father, who's responsible. This truth is so important. Adopted children of God, because God now is our Father, and therefore every father here, this is the calling of every father. Be as your heavenly Father. Provide, protect, love, maturate, that is, discipline and guide your children. Love them, know them, cherish them. Be in their lives. Even as our Father. Adoption. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing to adopt a child into our family. What a wonderful thing. What a work of the Spirit of God in our hearts to love. Adoption. Our adoption and human adoption follows this. God's adoption was first of all a choice. His choice of free grace. A choice not determined by anything to be found in us. When parents go to baptize a child, they don't know that child. They do not know his character. They do not know anything about him. Their choice is not in the child, but their choice is something that they have been given by God to do. Their choice is, we will love this child so perfectly as we are adopted unto salvation. It was not God's choice based upon what he knew in us. For all that he knew in us, and he knew us perfectly, was nothing but sin and rebellion. But his choice was his own love. Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6, having predestinated us, eternal predestination, choice of election, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. It was of God's grace alone. But then adoption, we know, is a legal process. We know that, don't we? It's a legal process that we have to wait in this life before we may have that child. There has to be papers. There has to be the legal right. There had to be a legal right for us to be taken out of the family where we were born. We were born in the devil's family. There had to be a legal right. And God provided that legal right for us, and it's called justification. And that was baptism too. He paid the price for all of our sins. And so what is justification? Justification is God dipping into the inkwell of the blood of Jesus Christ to sign the adoption papers that we might be his children. We love the truth of justification by faith alone, that in Christ alone is our righteousness, not in our works. What greater truth could there be, we say. But the Bible says there is one. For that justification was necessary for the adoption, that we might be adopted into the family of God. And so the third thing in adoption is conferring love. When you adopt a child, as well as naturally, but maybe we see it stronger when we adopt a child, you do everything to make that child know that you love him. We're very conscious of this because we're thinking that child's natural parent did not keep them. And the child struggles perhaps and says, but I wasn't kept there. Are you going to keep me? Are you going to forsake me? And so an adopted child especially needs to know that their parent, their father and mother, loves them, because they're going to question that. And so it is with us. Will he forsake us? We were from that family of death. And so it is with God. He assures us. He assures us of his love. What do we read? He sends forth the spirit of adoption to bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit constantly bears witness to us. The spirit of adoption is constantly through Scripture witnessing to you. You are the child of God, redeemed in his blood. Having chosen you, having legally obtained you, he will not forsake you. God does this by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit here is called the Spirit of Adoption. The third person of the Trinity is given that name, the Spirit of Adoption, because that is his great work. God the Father, the triune God, chose, and God the Son, the triune God, purchased, and God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, affects the adoption. We have received the Spirit of Adoption. That's the Holy Spirit whose work it is to bring to us so that we know that we are the children of God. That's the chief work of the Holy Spirit. And the way that the Holy Spirit does that work is an astounding way. And he does that as the Holy Spirit by giving us a spiritual rebirth called regeneration. This is the wonder of it. We cannot go to the heart of a child and flip a switch to make them love us. We can't go into a child and flip a switch to change genetics. But God can. He didn't just take us into his family. He put the family into us. He takes the life of Christ, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He takes the spirit of his Son, and he implants in us that life of Christ in its principle, so that we have now, as children of God, the life of Christ by grace within us, whereby we believe and love our God. Do we know what God has done? Do we know who we are? We are the adopted children of God, given the life of God's Son to be within us, a life that cannot die. It cannot perish. The Spirit now bears witness to our spirit as it is preached to you. The Spirit bears witness to your spirit of what? That you are a child of God. He makes us aware of that. God makes his children aware that he loves them. What a terrible false doctrine that would teach that God doesn't give us to know we are his children. That the knowledge of being a child of God is something that is elusive, that you only get that when you're older. As if God would say, I don't want you to know that I'm your father. I want you to go through life never knowing that you're my son. I'm going to hold that back. He's like a father, a sinful human father, who, so to speak, always holds the approval and the love of his son as a carrot on a stick. And the son is always trying to somehow earn the father's approval, earn father's love, but he can't ever get there because the father is distant, cold. That's not God. God sends forth the spirit of his son into our hearts to make us know we are the children of God. How does he do that? By making in us, giving to us, in our hearts, a spontaneous cry. Abba, Father. Do you have that? In distress, in fear. A child who knows the love of his father and mother cries out to his father. Is it not so? Is it not so? Is it not so that adopted children cry out to their father because they know that father loves them? Let's look at that a little bit in the text. The Holy Spirit does not work the assurance of Father's love for us by some mystical experience, by whispering into our ear, by giving to us a sign this morning in the snow when you come into your driveway, riding it through the snow. He doesn't do it that way. Now you know what I'm going to say next. The Holy Spirit gives us this assurance. You know what I'm going to say. Through the Word. Through the Word. But now hear me. From the text. The Holy Spirit does that when in the Word he shows what a son or a daughter of God is like. What a son and a daughter of God will be given to feel. Things that are never perfect with us. But in the Scriptures, he shows us what that son, that adopted son and daughter of God is like. The apostle in Romans chapter 8 has given us two things. One outside of our text and one right within the text. He has said to us that a child of God is led by the Spirit of God, verse 14. And that's a reference to verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. To be led by the Spirit of God is the grace of mortifying, verse 13, for as many, if ye mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live, for as many as are led. That's the leading of the Spirit. The Spirit gives us to know our sin, see our sin. To be led by the Spirit of God is not simply what college do I go to, or what house, or what color paint should I use for the house, or whatever, anything like that. But it is mortification. It is conversion. It is turning. That's the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Do you see that in you? That's the picture of a child of God. But now he adds this description of a child of God. He's not only led of the Spirit, but by the Spirit, he cries, Abba, Father. That's what a child of God does. Notice verse 15, for ye have received not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He speaks there of a spirit of bondage again to fear. We have not received that kind of spirit from God. That's a reference to a slavish spirit. That's a reference to a son that I was referring to a moment ago, whose father doesn't let him know. He doesn't express that emotion of love to his son, doesn't want to. And so he lives in fear. Have I gained his love? That's a slavish spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a slavish spirit. He does not put in you doubt. He does not put in you afraid of the Father. A slavish spirit would be that we look at God and we think we need to earn his love. That if I do this good enough, then God will love me. A child craves his father's love. They need to know that. They need to know that when they're sinful too. And when you discipline them, they need to know that. We have not received the spirit of fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. So the Holy Spirit works within us. And that's why the whole chapter is so together. You need to read it all together, this beautiful chapter. The Spirit assures us in the beginning that we have no condemnation. He works within us that we mortify the flesh. He works within us that sanctifying spirit. And now, we love our Father. We do not do things as Christians so that we can make God love us. We do things because God has loved us and we love him. And we serve him as a son and daughter who loves him, who has been made his son after the image of Jesus Christ. His spirit dwells within us, and therefore, that's why we do those things. But then you note that the apostle goes a step further. He says, the Spirit prompts us, spontaneous, to cry, Abba, Father. The text, we have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby, that is, by the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. That's a cry out of distress. That's a point when we are in danger. That's a point when we are overwhelmed. And the work of the Holy Spirit is that we cry, Abba, Father, not in a monotone voice, but from the depths of our soul, Father, help me. And again, why will a child do that? Father, help me. Because he's in distress and because he knows you. He knows that love that you have to him. So the children of God. The children of God, when difficulties, and remember, the Spirit now is painting in the Scripture the picture of a child of God and will witness to your spirit. He will resonate to your spirit that this is true, not perfectly, but this is true in the heart of every child of God present here this morning. When difficulties arise in our souls, when clouds of great grief and waves of sorrow and fear and death and despair and panic, what do you do? Abba, Father. We cry to the Father. We don't say, money, money. Woe is me, woe is me. I know the flesh is there. We don't say, why? But the heart of the work of the Spirit is that spontaneously in distress, a child calls for Father. This is the picture of a child of God. God does not want his children not to know his love for them. The unbeliever, he cries too. The flesh, it cries too. But the unbeliever in his prayer does not cry, Abba, Father. The unbeliever says, God, if you're there, if you're out there, I need you now. Some supreme being, help me. I have cancer. My son is dying. But the child of God cries, Abba, Father. Father, raise Owen Chase in the love of God so that he cries to you in his distress. Because that's what a son of the Father does. Be as your heavenly Father to him and love him with your heavenly Father's love. But I want to point out to you one more thing, as this is written for our assurance. You probably have heard these words, Abba Father, explained to you before. One is Aramaic and one is Greek, and different interpretations of the word Abba. But I think the point, follow carefully, the point that the apostle, the Spirit, says it this way is because these were the words of God's Son, Jesus Christ. In his moment of distress in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark 14, verse 35, Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. As he bore the weight of our distress, as he came before the weight of our sins and the wrath of God, he showed that he was a son. He did not serve the Father with slavish fear, I have to do this. But he served the Father with the love, the pure love of the perfect Son. Abba, Father. The Spirit of adoption sends forth the Spirit of God's Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Through Christ. When we are at our lowest point, when we are at our worst point, the Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are the children of God by spontaneously the cry of a son, Father, help me. We are the children, adopted children of God. And therefore we have a joint inheritance. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, a child, an adopted child, is an heir of his father, of his parents. All that the father has comes to the child. And therefore we have an inheritance, and oh, what an inheritance this is. 1 Peter 1, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, is the inheritance of eternal glory, is the inheritance of the forgiveness of all of our sins as sealed in baptism, is the inheritance of the Spirit working in us, its peace and joy, its everlasting life, it's the treasures of eternity. Notice with me that the text says we are heirs of God. That's first. God is our Father. And so as the father of the prodigal son said, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. So God says to us in Christ, all that I am and have is yours. The riches of my mercy, the wonder of my grace, full communion with God, to walk with me, strength for burdens, strength against temptations, all that I have is yours. The fullness of God and joint heirs with Christ. And there are the references to what Christ has earned for us, why he came as the Son of God. He came that we might have the fullness of salvation. But it's more than that. You remember Christ's inheritance is not only salvation, but Christ's inheritance is the world. The whole world. God gave him all things that he would reign forever and ever. We are no paupers. To the church belongs the inheritance of this world. And the glory that God will bring, and the working of all to that glory, that all things, therefore, in this world are for your sakes. Are all things serving Christ's purpose? Is he at the right hand of God? Yes. Are all things serving your inheritance? Yes. We're adopted children of God. Owen Chase has been taken out of the service. Owen Chase, this child, shall be a sign unto you. It shall be a sign unto you that you are an adopted child of God, that you, who had nothing and came from a totally different family, you who merited nothing, you have received so much. You have been brought into the family of God. He has given the Spirit to assure you. And this morning, in the blood of Christ, He assured us that we are His children. Amen. We thank Thee for the Holy Scriptures. We thank Thee for adoption. We thank Thee for Owen Chase. May Thy Word find a quick entrance into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And may we live now, not as members of that family of death and the devil, but that we may live as the children of God. Amen.